You may turn to the text for this morning, which is John chapter 14. I'm actually going to be starting at verse 1. And as you're turning to that, just a little bit of a preamble. It's such a privilege to be able to lead in worship in this congregation. It's not that I covet the pulpit, I just covet the place up front where I can listen to all of you. This is a great singing congregation, and it's just so much fun to be able to be here. I want to thank Laura and Deb for leading in that praise portion of our worship. You both do such a phenomenal job, and I could say that of just about anybody that I would be able to stand up here and, Kim, I'm looking at you because I got to see Kim, or I got to see Deb, and I don't want to omit. You know, there are so many people who do this, so thank you all. Thank you for the privilege of being able to be here. Again, this is a two-part series. This morning, based on something that Pastor Russ said a couple of weeks ago, he was talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and he was referring to in 1 John, who God is and what God has done. And in 1 Corinthians 15, there's a passage that says that we should not be found misrepresenting God. And that piqued my curiosity. I thought, well, you know, it would really be kind of nifty if we could find out, at least in part, what it meant to represent God. And then I thought, well, it's part of representing God, then being part of the kingdom of God, that is the church of Jesus Christ. So what does it mean to be the church and to represent the kingdom of God, to represent the church, the bride of Christ? So this morning we're going to talk about representing God, and this evening we're going to talk about representing the kingdom of God. And I hope that you will avail yourself of the opportunity to hear both and to understand what it means to be God's people. John chapter 14, verse 1 and following. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to the place that I am going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How could we possibly know the way? And Jesus said to him, and the way this is written in the Greek, let me just say it this. He said it to him in a quiet voice, knowing Thomas and the rest of the disciples as children in the faith. Thomas, Jesus said, I am the way. And here's the text. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him. And Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it's good enough for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and you still don't know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak in my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me, who does the works. To us, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Our gracious God and Father in heaven, we come before you and trust that as we open up your word this morning, it is not just the written word, but it is the spoken word, your word to us that you have spoken. You will show us the Father. You will show us the way. For you are the way and the truth and the life. This morning, may we live in that life that you have given. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. How do we represent God to the world? What does it mean to represent God? You know, in this particular passage, you got both Thomas and Philip saying, you know, not only don't we know the way, but we don't even know the Father. I mean, if you're going to show the Father to us by now, after 3 years, you could have at least done something that would have given us a little bit of a hint as to who the Father is and what the Father is. And then what is the way to the Father? And Jesus says, look at Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Think about representing God. How do we know him? Who is this God that we represent? So I thought what I'd do this morning hour is this entire volume is on God. So realizing it's Sunday and you don't have to be to work until Monday anyway, I thought I'd read this whole thing to you. No. Although it's a wonderful book and I would commend it to your reading. What I'm going to do is tell you what Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, which represents God. What he says to Philip is instructive of what we should understand from Thomas. Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Father is in me, and I am the Father. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we're going to talk about these three things this morning hour in this order. The way, that is the action of traveling. That's the first point. The second point is the truth. We're just taking 14:6. We're just going to run right through it. And the life. The way, the truth, and the life. It's that simple. So first of all, the way. What does it mean to be the way? Well, we have to understand, first of all, a little bit about what the way the world pictures God. And it's not so long ago that I was, and trust me, really, 50 years is not that long. It's not that long ago that I was in the world. And all I knew from what my grandma told me about who God was is that God was a divine buzzkill. God, according to some of the people that I went to school with, you kind of got to understand, I went to school in a 90% Jewish neighborhood. So most of my friends were Jewish. And what that meant to them was that the God that they understood was vindictive, judgmental, and even murderous. And they got all that from Scripture. God gets angry. God talks to people of Israel and says, destroy everything. Well, and I grew up and I got out of that particular neighborhood and I got out of that particular way of life and I got into a whole new way of life. And it was this modern, contemporary church. And what we found out was that God was all loving and even to the point of being teddy bear-like. You know, we got this whole idea that Jesus, that it was Abba, Father. And so, you know, grandfatherly, you get this image of this kindly old gent who puts you on his knee and pats you on the head and gives you a lollipop and sends you on your way. You got these two different visions of who God is. And that was challenging to me. And I didn't quite grasp who is this God that we represent to the world around us, because the world certainly doesn't see it this way, and the church doesn't represent a lot of different churches, that is, bodies of Christ, bodies that at least say they worship Christ. It's not the way they perceive or not the way they present him to the world around them. And then I got down to this church in Arkansas. We were on vacation. I was an adolescent. And because this was our custom, and we weren't really churchgoers on a regular basis, my dad would find a church, but never look at the time that they actually met. So we got to this one little church. It was a little white clapboard church in Arkansas, Mountain Home, and we got there late, so we ended up sitting right in front, right there. And the pastor, it was a Baptist church. I'll mention that. And the pastor, I think he was a frustrated stripper, because he was dressed in a three-piece suit, and as he was winding up, the jacket came off, and then the tie came off, and then the vest came off, And the problem with all of that is, all the while he was looking right at me, saying, if you do these things, you're going to go to hell. And I believed him, because that was the kind of message I was getting about a God who demands absolute perfection and obedience. And if you don't do it that way, you're going to hell. Well, the God that we're going to represent this morning is, I believe, vastly different from either that one extreme of being a divine buzzkill or that grandfatherly person who pats you on the head, or the one that's condemnatory and is going to send you to hell. The God we represent is the God we know through Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The way is very simple. If you look up this word in the Greek, what it means, primarily, it means a way of traveling. It's not designed to be, it's got, well, actually two different intents. It's got the intent of the goal, the way toward something. You're not, this is not, we were watching Crocodile Dundee the other night, and this is not a Christian walkabout, where you rove around with no particular destination in mind. This is with a destination in mind. And it's the journey to get to that destination that is in mind. God is the way. He provides not just the destination to be with him. It's a return to the Garden of Eden. The goal is to walk with God in the cool of the day. That's Genesis. It doesn't change for Israel. It doesn't change for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I will be with you. It doesn't change when we get into the new covenant with when Jesus is there. He's with, I will be with you to the end of the age, he says. It doesn't change with Paul that there's a parakaleo, one who comes alongside of us and walks with us on the way. The way where? The way to be with the Father. It's what the text says. If I go to a place to prepare a place for you, I will surely come to take you to be with me where I am. There's a destination in mind, a goal, to be with the Father again, to have that opportunity to be in his company and to praise his name for the life that we have and the renewed life that we have and the eternal life that we have. The goal, being with the Father. The goal of a journey. The problem with this whole idea of the journey is that you've got to be going a certain way. And so, it's just so odd. You know, we have an Alexa at home, and while I was working around the house yesterday, I asked her to play songs by Neil Diamond, and I got Frank Sinatra. I did it my way. God's way. Frank Sinatra's way. Paul's way. What way am I supposed to follow? What way am I? Well, it certainly isn't Frank Sinatra's way. But he did it his way. We live in that kind of world, don't we? Where we like to have it our way. Burger King encapsulated that. Have it your way. We're the Burger King generation. We like to have it our way. Of course, then there's also not just Frank Sinatra, but the Jefferson Starship song, which I also thought of this week. Go your own way. Is that how we're supposed to do this? To go my own way? To have it my way? The goal of the way is the Father, and it's the journey. It's not just the destination. It's the journey. Think about Exodus. Think about the people of Israel as they are in going to the promised land. They still can't figure out how to follow God in his way. You know, they kind of had to when they went through the parting of the sea. It was either go through the dry path that God provided or swim for it. So they followed him that far, but they weren't even sure about that. They got to the other side, and then all of a sudden, it was, we want to go here, and we want to go, and we definitely don't want to go in that land where all the giants are. We're not going that way. They still want to have their way. They still want to do it as Frank Sinatra would say, I did it my way. They want it their way. So it's not just the goal, the destination. It's how you take the journey. And it's interesting how we take the journey. The word for walk in the Greek is peripateo. It's we talk about people walking peripatetically. That's a word that we actually use in English. I walk peripatetically. Can you tell? It's not a kind of a walk that most of you want to walk. But I've got a disability, and it's fairly obvious, but I got bad news for all of you. You all got a disability. It's called sin. And we all walk peripatetically. This journey that we're on, this walk that we take, can only be done, as Paul points out throughout all of his letters in the New Testament, with a parakaleo. It's parapateo and parakaleo. Parapateo is the walk. Parakaleo is the one who comes alongside and holds me up. It's really quite amazing. As I stand up here this morning hour and walk and talk to you, I don't even feel pain. Because something else is on my mind. What's on your mind as you're taking the walk with Jesus each day? Where are you walking to? What way are you going? God Himself is the destination. And the way is by the grace of God, through the comfort of God, and the coming alongside of the Spirit of God as we walk. That's the way. It's really quite simple. Then comes the truth. Pastor Russ frequently alludes to some pieces of great literature, and he refers to them. I'm going to take you to some great literature too. Up is a word that I say when I look at a bird in the tree or the sky. Down is a place where I go when I fall from my bike or slip on a pie. Hot is the water that mom runs in my bath, but cold is each splash on the floor. These are all things that I know to be true, like I know 2 and 2 equals 4. But what if the truth that you held in your heart would suddenly vanish away? What if up became down and cold became hot and night was no different than day? There's a place in a time long ago where such a disaster occurred. And as you might guess, when nothing is true, everything else is absurd. We live in a world that is devoid of truth today. The truth is the second thing Jesus says that he is, and it's what God is. God is truth. God is love. We're going to come to that in just a minute. The truth is something that we need to come to grips with. The word truth, there's two parts to the understanding of the meaning of the word truth. First is the contents of the truth, and the second is the reliability of that truth. Firstly, then, contents of truth. Well, this is not that tough. God is truth. That's it. I probably could shut up and sit down right now, and it'd be sufficient. What does that exactly mean, the contents of truth? Well, God speaks in Genesis chapter 1, and the word that's used in the Hebrew, dabar, means to word. It's not to, you know, in English we would say to say, but in the Hebrew it is to word, which is what John picks up earlier in his letter or book of John, in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the word. God worded and light happened. God worded and water happened. God worded and human beings came. He worded us into existence. The way it's put in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, He is in the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him, and all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. That explains Genesis chapters 1 and 2. For him, by him, and through him, all things were created. That is the word. And God worded and stuff happened. That's the contents of the truth. Everything that we see around us, look at the person next to you, look at on both sides, look outside, look at the, everything is by the mouth of God. God is truth. And isn't it remarkable that it's not just spiritual truth we talk about, it's physics. If I was so bold as to stand on the edge of this platform and leap down to the bottom, I am almost positive nothing would happen to me. Seriously? You believe that? That's not true. Certainly not at my age. Now, if you're, you know, maybe 50 years or 60 years younger than I am, you got a shot at it. But I can almost guarantee you in my life, I would either hit the edge of that table or hit the edge of that table, then hit the floor, then hit my head. There would be a whole series of consequences for disobeying one of the principal rules of physics called gravity. Bad. I will guarantee you that if I leap down here, bad stuff will happen. The angels will not come and bear me down safely. It doesn't work that way. It's called physics, and there's truth to it. Talk about any physical science. We don't have to talk about the spirituality of this just for a second. God is truth. Just talk about 2 + 2 = 4, which was brought out so nicely in this little book. I am so glad that engineers in our world today are not postmodern professionals who don't believe in truth, because I'm sure that they still teach that 2 + 2 = 4. I want the bridges that I go over to hold up. I want the doctors that I go see to understand basic human biology and anatomy. There's a certain truth to all of this that our science has proven out over all the years. That's truth. That's the contents of truth. Who made it that way? Well, according to Paul in Colossians, according to God in Genesis, God did. God is truth. Through him, for him, and about him, Jesus Christ. Secondly, it's dependable. It's reliable. It's faithful. That's why we sang, "Great is thy faithfulness." The God that the Hebrews worshipped in Lamentations in Jeremiah's day, the God that they worshipped in Abraham's day, that's why Jesus references Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God, that God of so many years ago is the same God we worship today in the 2000s, and it'll be the same God that is worshipped in the 4000s, and it'll be the same God that we'll worship in the 6000s if God tarries. That's who he is. God is faithful, dependable, reliable. It's the person and work of God is an amazing reality. Think about what God said to Noah. It'll never rain like that again. Who's in charge of the weather? Climate change people? Seriously? Climate's been changing for 4,000 years. However many years. Come on, gang. Who made it? Who's in charge of it? Who takes care of it? The truth is, it's God. You want truth? Go to God. You want truth about anything? Go to God. God made it all. It was part of the understanding in the Dutch tradition. It's one of the reasons why we have Christian schools. Because what Christian schools are supposed to teach and what they mostly do teach, and most of the ones that I'm familiar with, is the idea that all of creation screams to us about who God is. And as we look out at it, it screams back to us that God did it. If you want to understand the truth of God, understand what God has made, what God has done, what God continues to do. So then we move on to this whole idea of the life. What is the, I am the way, that is the destination and the journey. I am the truth, that is the content of who God is and the reliability that that truth never changes throughout all of time. It's unchangeable. It is faithful. It's reliable. And then the life. God is all about life. And if you look around at our world today is all about division and death. No matter what we talk about, no matter where we look, it's not about the good news of life that we can have in Jesus Christ. It's all about the bad news of what's happening around us and how the imminent end is coming. I am so tired of hearing this phrase, existential threat. Y'all, is anybody out there with me on this? That whole idea that that somehow my very existence is threatened by, and then you go over the whole list of different things. My existence is threatened by North Korea. My existence is threatened by the sun. My existence is threatened by climate change. My existence is threatened by, the list is almost endless. I got bad news for these folks who are, well, actually I have good news for them. Good news for you. Our existence is not threatened by anything. Our existence is sure in Jesus Christ. Our existence eternally is solid in Jesus Christ. That's what the whole idea of life means. God didn't come down to he made the earth, and then he said, wow, what a cute rock. I think I'll leave it that way. It's not the way it worked. He made light. He made water. He separated the water, gave us clouds, which I'm looking at right now. It's just beautiful out. He gave us critters. Some of them I'm happy about. Some of them not so much. I got stories about being in Vietnam with king cobras. You don't even want to hear it. I hate snakes. But God made them. They got a purpose. He made people. If he made you, think about what Jesus says in Matthew. If he made you and you are made in his image, doesn't he care about you? Is your life, is your existence really threatened? I am the way. If we're going to represent God to the world, we represent him as both the journey and the destination. If we're going to represent God to the world, we represent him as the truth of everything that we talk about. If we're going to represent God to the world, we represent him as a life giver. The essence of not only who we are, but what's happening all around us is at the hand of God. He is the life. God is the light. God is the water. He's not darkness. He's not death. God has given us everything we need, including the Spirit, which we've already talked about, the source of life, the whole idea of the Sermon on the Mount. What does Jesus say to the disciples and to that great crowd of people that are assembled and are listening to him? Does not your life consist? Does your life consist of what you eat and what you drink and what you put on? That's not the point. Your life consists of that walk with God, the walk to the Father, the eternal life with the Father, and the world that the Father has created. It's a joy. It's not a fearsome thing. I'm not afraid of tomorrow. Why be afraid of tomorrow? Who's in tomorrow? Jesus. I'm not afraid of what anybody can do to me. Why should I be afraid of them? I got Jesus. Jesus is the Father. I and the Father are one, he says. Philip should have gotten this. Thomas should have understood. Then when he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you, not only did Thomas not know where he was talking about, he didn't know how to get there. It's after 3 years. We've been doing this for 20 minutes. Hopefully you got it. I am the way. The journey's destination and the journey. I am the truth. All things are made by my hand out of the mind of God, and they continue to be that way and have continued to be that way and will continue to be that way until he comes again. And he's life. Life is joy. Real life is not this drudge. Oh, I'm weighed down. See, that's what sin does. Oh, I'm so tired. That's what age does. We are ageless in Christ. We have life in Christ. We have joy in Christ. We have renewal in Christ. all of these things. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what it means to represent God in the world. When we leave here today, when you go out to see your friends, when you go back to school, whatever it is you see or do this coming week, what we represent is a God who has given us everything, and the joy of it is what we express all the time. Well, at least we should. I know I don't all the time. I should. I get frustrated. I get discouraged. But the truth of the matter is that even in my discouragement and even in my frustration, God is still there. It doesn't change the truth. He is still the journey and the destination. So look at, here's what you got to tell the folks who you work with and who you go to school with and who you see. There's how you see yourself. Pastor Russ talks about this with some degree of identity. What's your identity? How you see yourself. You know, when you go home, take a look in the mirror. There's how you see you. If you're married and you got somebody to do this with, have them look at you. How you see yourself is typically not the whole truth. How they see you is not the whole truth. How God sees us is. How does God see you today? What is the truth? God sees us in Christ Jesus. As part of the family of God, brothers and sisters with Jesus Christ, on a journey with the Holy Spirit to the Father for all time. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come before you in the morning hour now of this great day and do give you thanks and praise your name for all that you've given. We thank you, Father, that you are indeed the way, the truth, and the life. We thank you, Father, for giving us this solid, undeniable truth, a truth that's all-encompassing, a truth that is as reliable as you are, and that we can live in that truth to the joy of our spirit. Father in heaven, give us that joy, that excitement, that sense, that assurance of your constant and abiding presence with us on this journey through life. As we go home to the Father. And it's in the triune name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.